My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions.
I would like to posit that God is good.
God is good. And I want to debate you. So fight me.
Have you considered the argument from Nuh-uh?
Just to say no.
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Well, all you did good, yeah. So I'll just say Nuh-uh.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so what I'd like to say is, when I hear the vast majority of people trying to defend the goodness of God, they get it totally wrong when they say, where do you think morality came from? We Christians have like good morals, and you can't have morals without a God, which makes the non-theistic or atheistic positions say that those people do not have morals. So that's, I disagree with that stance, but I say that instead, I come from a point where I say, the vast majority of humankind across the globe, for the most part, all have a sense of there is a difference between good and evil. And there are vast majority of people across the globe have this somehow kind of knowledge within some kind of sense of the difference between good and evil, that people know that violence against women, violence against each other is wrong. And I believe that sense of the difference between right and wrong does not come from people. It is not a natural process from humans.
Ookie dookie. But isn't it a little bit inconvenient for that argument that the things we describe as being evil, wrong, immoral are things that we have extremely low tolerance for, like causing pain and suffering, including emotional pain and suffering? I wouldn't say it comes from people. Like, it's not necessarily declared, but it's, I don't know what to call it, almost like a biological reality of us. And then through our language systems, we have come up with ways of describing it, which is what I think what our sense of morality is. But
there is no naturalistic way that I have been exposed. There's no argument that I've been exposed to where the difference between good and evil is a naturalistic development. I am convinced that our awareness of the difference between good and evil has come from somewhere apart from human anything, apart from human existence.
Okay.
So that's my position on the debate.
What would it look like for good and evil to come from humans?
I my assumption would be that it would be subjective. Like, okay. Any clan would say, like, there are some people who in the earth where they, you know, the classic kind of like love your neighbor, but some other subjective group of humans eat their neighbor. So
it's extraordinarily rare, but it has happened. There's ritualistic cannibalism that occurs within families too, in some groups, like in Papua New Guinea or whatever. Yes. So what I would say is, I actually talked about this in a debate I had a while back on Modern Day Debate, but I think that there's some religious confusion. Well, not some. There's quite a lot of religious confusion in the world, which I don't think bodes well for the existence of God. So, for example, I wonder, you know, if you will give me a minute here, I can actually pull it up because I want to get my thoughts. I want to state my thoughts actually properly. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Moral consistencies and inconsistencies. This is it, right? Okay. For all we can tell, people with intact cognition have a pretty consistent reaction to certain stimuli and share attitudes and behaviors about them. We find things like pain and suffering intolerable, we possess a degree of empathy, and we're social creatures who can't function on selfishness alone. Because of this, what we find is group and kin-selecting behaviors are relatively consistent across every group. Now, yes, there's been barbarisms to outgroups, but religion has that as well. There's plenty of genocides in the Bible. But the in-group, there are all these rules and such where it's much more peaceful on the in-group. So, in other words, we develop social norms, which we can call morals, that are in line with our well-being and intrinsic nature. However, ceremony, and this goes to the subjectiveness that you kind of brought up earlier. However, ceremonial, ritualistic, purity, and observational norms, which are a form of morality, are wildly different everywhere. So are there multiple personal gods, no personal gods, or every norm of this type is culturally structured, and every norm of this type is culturally structured, or did somehow the only real personal god that exists decide to reveal himself to one particular group of people on our planet? And if so, why that group? So this thing about like what people decide is like good or bad being different across cultures, I think you're right, but it's also true that there is a huge amount of similarity between them. Whereas once we start invoking God and God has these other rules for like you must do and do not do these other things, those are wildly different everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, no matter what somebody believes in religiously, they have an intolerance toward pain. They do have an empathy reflex, unless they're a psychopath, but I think we kind of know how to determine or diagnose psychopathy. And a lot of that, I think, makes sense in terms of biology, because, like, I can tell you that probably 100,000 people are going to die today throughout the world, and you don't really care. Neither do I. I mean, like, it's not good, but we also don't really care very much, right? Whereas, if, you know, we're absolutely crushed when a single person that we're related to dies or whatever. And I think that actually makes perfect sense from a biological perspective.
Yeah, okay. I mean, plenty of people in my immediate circle have passed away and we've, you know, been devastated, but like, I think that has to do with exposure. Like, you, most people can't even comprehend what, like, I think it's more than like 100 people in a room. Like, if there's more than 100 people even in a room, I think the average person can't really comprehend any more than that. So like, even trying to visualize
150 is about the biggest social group that, like, anthropological studies have bore this out. That's about the maximum that a society that lacks complex like organization can only handle about 150 people.
So, but can I take it back to like, okay, so you gave me a little bit of ground in that, like, it seemed like what you in your past couple few sentences had relented to this idea that, like, hey, listen, there seems to be a general sense of there's a goodness versus an evil in the majority of humankind. But my posit again is a naturalistic, non-theistic or atheistic worldview cannot explain where that has come from. That you may have heard of an argument of like, hey, listen, there's no good, there's no evil, or there can't, God can't be good, but where you need to relent in there, you have an awareness, you have a meter of the difference between good and evil. Where did that sense Where did that meter, your ability to tell the difference between good and evil, where did that originate in humans?
Well, I mean, I think it comes out of human cognition, and I think it is informed by survival mechanisms. Like, I tried to articulate this earlier. Maybe I did a poor job of it, I guess. But all the things, virtually all the things, except for, like, puristic, ceremonial, ritualistic things, all of the other things that universally we regard as being completely intolerable and taboo and off limits are things that fuck with our survival.
I disagree. Hard disagree. And let me give you an example. Nazi occupied Germany when we're hiding the Jews, and the Tenboom family creates. They go out of their way to spend resources.
Yep.
Okay. Right.
Because, the Tenboom family. Yeah, because we have empathy. The same kind of empathy that we extend to the people, like our children. Because if you save the life of your child, you pass on your genes.
Nearly done.
We're capable of expanding that moral circle to people that aren't necessarily, that we aren't related to. But if they're part of our circle and part of our tribe, then they're still part of our group, and that helps the group survive, because natural selection works on populations.
No, disagree, because to put, not only spend my resources, the Tenboom family were not Jews. The Clockmaker family had to spend their resources to build a secret compartment, and they were not Jews, but they hid the Jews, risking their own well-being and life, wasting, quote unquote, spending or wasting resources.
Mm-hmm.
That it goes directly against what you had said about, like, no, the difference between good and evil is that the Tenboom family knew that Nazi Germany was incorrect morally, and that the Jews were not to be eradicated, and that we need
we'd want to ask the question, what did the Tenboom family mean by we know that they are incorrect? Like, just factually incorrect, that there's no such thing as the Aryan race. I mean, that could be all you need, and then you could just by using your rational mind conclude that this idea of this ethnic cleansing and all this other horrible stuff, if it's rooted in a contradiction, then it can't be true, therefore it can't be justified. But then also, if the thing about it that's just morally disgusting is the indiscriminate killing, then we could look at, why do humans think that indiscriminate killing is bad? And then that could all be rooted just in a type of biological realism about the nature of human, you could say human cognition, or you could just call it human behavior.
So a moment ago, I heard you pose the question, like, well, why? Why did the Tenbooms, where did that come from? And my posit is that came from God. That came from the teachings of that God.
But this God has commanded all kinds of genocides. And I mean, the Tenbooms, I don't know anything about them. I've never heard about them before. Maybe they were Protestants. Well, that would be really awkward, because Martin Luther was, he could definitely have been Hitler's mentor, because Martin Luther advocated for stealing all the homes and properties of Jews and kicking them out of, I don't know if it was Germany or wherever he lived at the time, but Martin Luther could have written Mein Kampf. He said they worship a false god. His argument was that the God of the Old Testament isn't even the same God of Christianity, and all this horrible stuff. So,
I've heard about the anti-Semitism of Martin Luther, but I would consider myself a Protestant, but not because I think Martin Luther is the best role model, or
I know. I'm not saying Protestantism is anti-Semitism or anything like that, but it's not like you can't.
Go ahead to add to your own education. The Tenboom family, Corey Tenboom and her father was like a clockmaker, and World War II German. I think they were in I think they were Dutch. I think this was, I don't think this was in actual Germany, actually. I think this was in a different country. But but it's an example of like, hey, listen, there are so many significant reasons for a non-naturalistic, non-self-preservation of people who go out of their way to rescue, to put themselves in harm's way because they have a non-self-preservation kind of point of view.
Yeah, but people also, people jump into rivers to save children, which can kill them, but it can be explained biologically or like through evolution, because if you sacrifice your life to save your child, then your genes still get passed on.
Yeah, yeah. The propagation of the species. That's fine. That's fair. But sorry, maybe I lost the train of thought of. Yeah, I apologize.
That's fine. I just don't understand how thinking it's wrong to go around rounding up people and sending them to Auschwitz. I don't understand why thinking that's wrong makes more sense if God exists than if God doesn't exist.
So that brings it back to the origin, like the origin of how human people, majority of humans, originally got onto this concept of where did the difference between good and evil came from? And I'm saying to you that it was not through naturalistic processes or only biological figuring about survival of the fittest and trial and error.
Well, I don't think that humans were ever meta-aware of it, but I think that is what shaped human behavior. Like raccoons wash their food, but they don't know germs exist. But you don't have to know it for it to be selectively advantageous. And again, the Bible reads like a book written by very imperfect people who didn't think that people outside their group were worth much of anything except as kindling and property and sometimes trade partners as well.
Right.
Which makes sense biologically. If it was written by very imperfect people with some pretty severe limitations, you would see that. But because we are also fundamentally a cooperative social species, there's also some niceties in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Can you remind me, can I just switch gears briefly, because the last, two guests you let on ago was a group of, sounded like, multiple people. They were trying to defend. Yeah, that was a hoot. I got some good laughs.
It was pretty fun. Yeah.
That was wild. That was a wild ride. And I was like, I was listening to these guys. And I'm like, I know what they're trying to say, and they're just so close, but so stupidly expressing it. And it embarrasses me to be like, no, I know what they're trying to say. They're just saying it so incorrectly. So I'm trying to rack my brain about the last couple points that you were talking about, because I took issue with what you said, but I also took issue with how that group of people were saying it.
Well, we were talking about where goodness comes from, and they said it comes from God. I said, then if God told you to do something, would it be good?
So I'll get roasted alive for this point of view, and canceled and whatever. But here's the thing: if there, you know, God is the quantum reference point.
What the hell does that mean?
The quantum reference point. So like the intrinsic base reference point of all of the cosmos for what is the standard of goodness. So like if God says red is blue, then it's going to be that. And like if God says a certain way and a certain standard of things is good, then like reality will change to become that way.
So look, if you want to believe that, that's fine, but you don't get to at the same time claim that this is objective. Like I am a moral relativist. And being a moral relativist doesn't mean that you have to accept what everybody says as being equally morally good. I can condemn all kinds of things. It's just the recognition and the acceptance that other people will have different ideas about what they think is good or bad. And it's subjective and it's relative. If morality comes from God and he can just declare things are different one day versus the next, then if this God is capricious like that, then the morality is subjective, not objective. And so if you want to believe that it comes from the God, then that's fine. But that doesn't in any sense make these moral facts or make these moral claims facts. It doesn't make them true. They're just completely subjective by nature.
Subjective to who?
To God in this case.
Yeah, and so that if that's true, like that's fine, because if there is a God and he is the ultimate like rule maker, then like I see no issue with that.
The issue is if I arbitrarily say the standard for goodness is human well-being, then I have declared that in no less arbitrary a way than you have by saying God is the standard. And so there's no such thing as I'm wrong and you're right in this argument. People use this to pretend that it does work that way, because then they say, well, if there's no God, then you can't say blank is correct. But if God says that blank is now all of a sudden fine when we all think it's wrong, then the religious person has to be committed to saying, to agreeing, I guess. So there's no...
Okay. Curious. You know, I watch your lives and I get a fair amount of entertainment seeing you go back and forth with people who relatively take my position. But I've noticed that, like, I'll say it flat out, like, why aren't you roasting me?
Because you don't sound like you're arguing in bad faith and you didn't come up here to the number one thing. People like really get surprised every now and then. I'm like, wow, Planet Peterson was totally chill. You know, I guess I have a reputation or whatever. I only get that way with people that are completely sanctimonious, with people who just they think their shit doesn't stink, you know, and who just come out the gate just being obnoxious. And I also, from time to time, it started pretty early with those guys from before, because they were up here saying people that think that just because you have an argument that proves something is just so incredibly annoying to me. So I clown around with them, and we all saw that happen.
So, but in those times where you're provoked by people with ill manners is when I've seen you at your most voracious, with bringing out all you pull out all the stops, man, and you bring up all these arguments, and that's the time when I like want to join the debate the most, and like because you pull out all the stops, and like it's no holds bar for you bringing out all the arguments, but you're saying like that's not your actual true argumentation form, and you're like, you don't really believe all that stuff. You're just kind of like being a wise ass yourself.
Well, what I was mainly trying to say is you reap what you sow. So, you know, if you come up here and you're arguing in good faith, you're not trying to do gotchas, you're waiting your turn, you're not being sanctimonious, then I don't have any reason to be. That would delegitimize any point that I'm trying to make. But I will match energies.